Monday night in New York. Good to have you with us wherever you may be. Chris Moore here till 2 a.m., the 10 to 2 tonight. So plenty of time to get your calls in later this hour. Let's turn our attention to football before we really get going with the calls tonight, though. Jason LaConfora, our good friend from CBS, nice enough to give us a little bit of time. And he's got a lot of time because, like you Met fans, he's a little disappointed in his baseball field, the baseball team right now.
Oof. Well, I may have something in common with Mets fans soon enough. We may both have watched a 120-loss baseball team. They're flirting with it, these Orioles are. That's for damn sure.
I'll tell you what. It is hard to believe, really, how far they've fallen. And when you see Buck in that dugout, and I know you follow him every day, and yeah, you live and die with him a little bit, although the fizzle has gone out of this drink, in May. Yeah. But what are your thoughts about what happens there and why they haven't made any changes? Like, does it tell you something about sports in general, about how much power these owners have despite criticism, et cetera, yeah, to basically do whatever they want?
It's their little fiefdoms, right? And we kind of watch from the outside and hope and pray. You know, you occasionally have fan protests or people, boycott this or boycott that. But, I mean, I guess occasionally that resonates. But by and large, they're free to do what they wish, when they wish, how they wish. And certain franchises are more backwards than others. Certain owners have better instincts than others. And, you know, I know that the Wilpon family there gets a pretty rough time of it in New York for good reason. And the Angelos family here in Baltimore, it's been pretty horrendous. I mean, you had, 15 odd years of losing baseball, and then you have this nice little 5-year run here. But in the meantime, you're going to lose. I don't know that Manny Machado is going to be Frank Robinson, who I consider to be the greatest Oriole of all time, but he just might. I mean, Manny Machado might hit 600 home runs, and he might be the greatest Oriole of all time, and they will have won one best-of-5 playoff series with him and never really even attempted to sign him. And now they're trading him a year later than they should have. Really, 15 months, 17 months later than they should have. I would have traded him with their meetings in 2017.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll see. Peter Angelos is 89 years old. He's not in good health, and his sons are in the process of taking over, and that's part of the reason why they haven't fired anybody. They haven't, they haven't fired Buck. They haven't fired Dan Duquette. This was they had a pretty high draft pick this year. You have the draft, and then you've got trades right after that. I would fire everyone, though. I mean, the stench of this and the stink of this, I would start all over with a new, a new brain trust all the way around. And I suspect that they by and large, they will.
Yeah, that's probably the case. Jason LaConfora joining us. Bryce Harper, in dramatic fashion, has just won the home run derby with a last-second home run that tied it at 18 and then 30 seconds of whatever the bonus time is.
Oh, good for the Nats. The Nats finally won.
Yeah.
Good for them. That's
and
great.
Harper 19-18 over Schwarber to win the whole thing. So it's been very few reasons to cheer for them either this year, especially where the expectations were. But they get a night tonight anyway with their boy Harper, who's hitting .214 or whatever. All right, let's talk about the issues in the NFL and what's most compelling. What do you think people will want to read about in the month of August about your game? What will they be drawn to?
I mean, look, we just saw a record tied for quarterback drafted in the first round, right? And it's quarterback all the time, and especially now where you have teams that have had some recent success, teams like Baltimore and Arizona, who have some semblance of a changing of the guard, and you've got the excitement of, I know where I live here in Baltimore, and people, I've never seen this town excited about August football before, ever, even when they were winning Super Bowls. You know, nobody cared about the preseason, but people cannot wait to see Lamar Jackson. Literally, there'll be more people at the first home preseason game than were at the game in December against the Bengals, where if they win, they know they're going to the playoffs. And the stadium was still half full because people were waving the white flag saying, I can't watch this cosmic slop anymore. This, I'm not paying for football, not rugby. Like, this is, it's a passing game, a legend. And you know, obviously you guys have a huge market team there in the Jets, and you've got Darnold and the whole Baker Mayfield thing and him going first overall and the order of where all these kids got picked and Josh Allen with the huge cannon, but can he hit the side of a barn when he has to? You know, and Rosen being this sort of divisive figure because he's, God forbid, willing to speak his mind. So yeah, I think, you know, then on top of that, you've got Aaron Rodgers, who's about to, at some point, if it's not August, it'll be early September, get the highest contract in the history of the NFL. You've got Cousins, the first fully guaranteed man, you know, in NFL history, going to Minnesota, where he can try to pretend it's not Super Bowl or bust, but it absolutely positively is Super Bowl or bust. You know, you can just kind of go around the league, and I think there'll be a lot of quarterback-driven storylines that are pretty compelling and that will, you know, tell the tale of the season. Oh, yeah, I didn't mention the 41-year-old that played with, who basically, you know, threw up the double middle finger to the organization the whole spring and said, I'll show up when I want to show up.
Yeah, and he certainly, I don't know if earned the right is the right way to put it, but he certainly can do what he wants.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and so they will welcome him whenever he shows up. Jason, when you talk about Lamar Jackson, it's interesting when you draft quarterback like that, you wonder whether teams are more worried about whether they're fragile or whether they're good enough. And I get the sense that they're excited about Lamar Jackson too, but they worry. And we're getting more of these quarterbacks because they are more daring out of the pocket, regardless of whether they're quote-unquote running quarterbacks or not. They're active quarterbacks. What are your thoughts about that? And we've talked about this trend before or this gamble before. How's the league feeling about it these days, the quarterback that's mobile and more effective when he's mobile? Let's put it that way.
You know, I think it's an ongoing debate, and beauty's in the eye of the beholder. And you know, there's some teams, including teams who weren't going to draft a quarterback this year, didn't have a dog in the fight, but you obviously evaluate them all. Some feel that Lamar Jackson could be the best of this whole bunch, even though he was the fifth taken. We don't know, and people value things differently and what he can do with the ball in his hand, whether he's running or throwing or just faking somebody out or just buying time to extend the play and how people sort of value that. Rate that and how it fits in certain schemes but not others, and how stubborn some coaches are and how willing others are to meet people more than in the middle, you know, meet them three quarters of the way to cater your entire scheme to what they do best right now. So I don't think there's one answer to that question. You know, and in terms of his durability, and I saw him a bit this spring, including their final mini camp practice where they literally gave him no other quarterback threw a pass in team drills. I mean, he ran every 7-on-7 and 11-on-11. I mean, he was the first team, second team, third team. I frankly never seen it before. And they basically told him, don't run. Try to run our Joe Flacco offense for an afternoon. And it was hit or miss. But I was basically surprised by how much he was able to do. They took his legs away. He was still able to basically run their offense. And yes, he's got accuracy issues, and he's going to have to read defenses better. And there's a lot that he's going to have to ingest and process. But the durability thing, to me, the Michael Vick comparison isn't a lazy comparison or just the obvious comparison. I think it may be the best comparison. And this kid is so elusive. You know, RG3 was a track guy. He's a straight line runner. He didn't have wiggle. You know, he was point A to point B, right? He was a hurdler. And that had a lot to do with some of the hits he took. This kid, I think, has better instincts when to slide. He reminds me of more like a Michael Vick or a Russell Wilson. And those guys just have this sort of innate ability to roll, to dodge, to duck, to kind of, know when to stop, drop, and roll. And people seem to kind of glance off them, but you don't see as many kill shots. Now, he's not built like Cam Newton in terms of size and strength, but he's got a tremendous core, and he's going to be the fastest man on the football field most games he plays in, at least fast with the ball in his hand. So are they concerned about it a little bit, Chris? But he's going to see the field right away. Like, there is going to be packages for him from week one on, and depending on how this team performs, the amount of Lamar plays may expand while the amount of Flacco plays may contract. We're going to have to see how that plays out. But I believe he'll be the first of these quarterbacks to throw an NFL pass, because he's going to have a chance to do it week one as sort of this jack of all trades. Whereas I don't know that the other ones hit the field that soon.
Yeah, and I think that's fascinating for people, too. You talk about what we're looking forward to, and indeed the quarterbacks, as they often do, lead the intrigue list, and especially when you have as many as you talked about with this one. And you have many different styles here, too. You know, we went through the Allen, Darnold, Rosen group of, you know, what you like about each one and what you didn't, and, you know, for ad nauseum before the draft started. Now we get to actually see them with NFL players flanking them, and it will be definitely interesting there. I imagine they'll do pretty well in the preseason with some of these guys if they get some snaps in there. Where is New England right now in terms of your mind, talent-wise? We know their division's going to be weak again, because it just is. And it just it seems to be as automatic as the Orioles' struggles recently. It's just automatic that they're going to walk through there pretty well through the division. And I don't see any reason why they won't again this year. But what about overall in the AFC?
Yeah, I mean, they're going to win, 11 games by default. I don't think they're a 13-3 juggernaut. They're certainly not going to be a team like, the one that flirted with immortality in the perfect season. But Ryan Tannehill is probably the second best quarterback in that division. So, but yeah, they're going to host a home playoff game. You mentioned talent level. I don't think it's a very talented roster at all. I think that Tom Brady and Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels cover up a tremendous amount of holes. And frankly, they go look at the flip cards from, the last three or four Super Bowls they've been in. It's they're not overloaded with Pro Bowl players. They by and large haven't been. I mean, I remember looking up this stat at the Super Bowl last year. Ben Watson is 10th all time in completions with Tom Brady. He hasn't played in New England in like 12 years. I mean, the guys he's completed passes to in his career, I mean, most of them were undrafted or seventh-round picks.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's
Wes
Welker, it's Julian Edelman. It's, the various scat backs they've had. I think Kevin Falk is like third in completions, third or fourth in completions. I mean, there's one Gronk, and then, and they had Randy Moss for 2.5 years, sort of when he was still bringing it, and that's it. It's just a bunch of dudes. So I think it's the same old New England. Are they going to win the Super Bowl this year? I don't think so. But will they compete for one? Yeah, absolutely. And when I look at the AFC, I don't know, man.
I mean, who's
the team? You know what I'm saying?
Like, that's why we have guests like you on, because we really don't. If you don't know, then how the hell will we know?
Yeah,
you live the league.
We're knocking them, right? We're sitting here knocking them, and I'm knocking them, but Brady's going to show up when he has to show up, and Gronk's going to show up when he has to show up, and Kraft's going to, slip them some more money, and they'll get, I think Gronk's going to get a complete new contract, and Brady will get some money kicked his way. And we'll see what happens in January, is Jacksonville, do they have a quarterback still, and will the defense be able to carry them? Pittsburgh, this is a bit of a last hurrah for them in terms of at least, their triplets or whatever, and this is going to be Le'Veon Bell's last year there. So how does that play out? New offensive coordinator, Ben Anglin for a new contract. And then the rest of that field, I don't know. I don't know who's good in the AFC. I tend to think nobody's great, and New England is very good at winning games, and especially winning games at home. So maybe they do represent the AFC again. I don't know, but whoever comes out of the NFC is going to be pretty battle tested, because I think there'll be one or two teams in the NFC who will miss the playoffs, who, if they were in the AFC, probably could have won two or three of those divisions.
Well, I'll tell you what, I think that there is what you talked about earlier, and that is great anticipation for the season, not just for Lamar Jackson in Baltimore and what they're thinking about, but with these new quarterbacks and with our shared analysis of the AFC being wide open. A lot of dreaming out there, and let's face it, that's what you need. You need the optimism, and a lot of fans will have it in this month of August anyway. Appreciate it, JLC. Good luck with the Orioles, and enjoy your vacation from them. They're not playing tonight. They're not playing tomorrow. They won't play Wednesday or Thursday, so you can't ask for a better summer week than this if you're an Oriole fan.
And when they play on Friday, Machado will be gone, and my kids and I will be figuring out which of the prospects they get we can see in the minors before before I completely turn my life over.
There you go. Thanks, JLC. We'll talk to you.
Have a good one, brother.
There you go. Jason LaConfora.